Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. You know, I just think of this year as a celebration. We started in 2008, and we have been speaking to the hearts of now 5 million homeschooling families throughout the United States and some international. We just pray for you each and every day. Today's devotion is taken from Windows on God's World by Dr. James A. Tucker, and it's about caddisflies. And our verse is Proverbs 4:11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. And don't we just pray for that, that God will continue to lead us. Caddisflies form the largest group of aquatic insects on earth. There are about 750 species of caddisflies in the United States alone, and varieties can be found in all parts of the world. Adult caddisflies resemble small moths and feed on nectar. However, it is in the larva of this insect that are very interesting because it is at this stage that their behavior gives the fly their name. For the larva of the caddisfly originally was called the casefly, and they build cases in which they live in for a time. The larvae look like small caterpillars that have adapted to life in the water. They have strong forelegs for case building and strong jaws for cutting soft construction materials like leaves and grass. Each species has its own special style of architecture and its own preference for building materials. This type of caddisfly is called sign builders, and they live in mountain streams and weave nets from silk secreted by glands. These nets are placed in right angles to the current. The larvae live in nearby tubes made of small stones cemented together. Safe in their stone homes, the larvae need only to crawl out periodically to feed on the small animals that are caught in their nets. Fascinating. Microcaddisflies build bean-shaped cases that are carried around while the insect feeds. The long-horned caddisfly lives in many kinds of cases. They may be made of sand in the shape of slender cones, or they may be constructed of twigs or spruce needles cemented together crosswise like small log cabins. The chimney case caddisfly larva constructs small, square, tapering cases of plant material. These are found under stones or on pieces of wood. Snail case caddisflies make cases out of grains of sand in the form of small spiral snail shells. They do such a good job that the cases are often mistaken for real snail shells. The caddisfly larva is just one more case among thousands that tell us that God taught them their amazing skills. I mean, you can't imagine it just happening in a big bang or even evolving. We have a designer God, a creator God who cherishes each one of us. And the Bible tells us he thought about us before we were even put together in our mother's womb. That's pretty awesome. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I hold up to you our show today. I hold up to you each one of us that we can fully realize and believe your profound love for us. I know the world just makes so much noise and distraction, and often we fall into the temptation of doubt. Remove that today, Lord. I thank you so much for hearing our prayers. I thank you for loving us, and I thank you that you're coming back soon. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, I've put on my Pinterest site, and I'll just remind you, my call letters for Pinterest are MR Gamblin and the number 2. And I put all of this on Windows on God's World. Caddisflies. They're so interesting that I'm thinking you could do a lot of creative things. If you found a stream that had caddisflies in it, you would know that the stream is really clean because they don't tolerate pollution at all. And then also if you could find adult cases. I mean, just showing your kids the video, you could have them try to mimic a little case with glue and rocks for one species or little twigs. You could just have fun letting them know how hard it is to make these little cases and how God has given this little tiny larva the ability to do it. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. As we've talked about before, curriculum is the path you've chosen for your child to fully develop, both spiritually, mentally, and physically. And as you look at all the pros and cons, depending on where you live, you can look at public schools an option. It's free. Even the transportation to get there is free, which means that, you know, you and I have paid taxes so that it is free for everyone. The whole idea really is a God-based idea, and that is everyone should have the opportunity to learn and thrive in an educational system. So why homeschool your child when the local public school is there with all the resources, sports, music? So let's go through them this week. Number one, public schools do have larger class sizes, which means less individualized attention, and it's more institutionalized. So your child may not get the one-on-one attention he or she might need. That's huge. So just think of that. That might be one reason why you would choose to homeschool your child rather than send them to a traditional school. Questions parents ask. I have 5 kids under the age of 10, and my 3 older children physically fight all the time. They pull hair, they punch, kick. I've tried separating them, but now they're getting bigger, and I'm really unable to physically do it because I'm very pregnant. So when you have a large family like that, I have 5 kids now, soon we'll have 6. How do you control them? Well, when I was a young parent with just one child, and I had 2 right away, I decided early on that physical fighting would not be allowed. We would use our words. And I started very young with that because kids start punching and hitting when they're just turning 2 and taking toys away from other people and pulling hair and biting. So you've kind of gotten a late start if your children are that out of control. By this age, your older children should be very helpful. And that is probably the most discouraging thing I could say. But I can say that you as a mom should take some parenting classes. They can be online and just start implementing and practicing. We are not given a manual when we have our children. So it's understandable that we make a lot of mistakes and we're human. And maybe we were raised in a family that was very laissez-faire and, you know, the strongest one, that kind of thing. Have courage. God will lead you. And the fact that you're asking, you're going to have lots of advice from a lot of seasoned parents if you just take a step back and become teachable yourself. Start little and start strong and enforce those few rules. Today is a fight-free zone. If you touch, so much as touch your sibling, then you've lost this privilege, whatever the privilege may be, and then stick with it. Make it a privilege that you can take away. Maybe it's a privilege to have technology. Maybe it's a privilege to watch TV. Maybe it's a privilege to have dessert. You do some consequence that you can enforce and then enforce it. I have done as simple as if you do this, then I'm writing your name down. And if you do it again, I'm putting a check mark by your name and not even tell them what consequence. That was the consequence. And you'll be amazed how kids don't like that. They don't like records kept of their bad behavior. So sometimes a consequence as small as that has far-reaching impact on the lives of your children. Well, that's my advice. Take it for whatever it's worth. We're going to be hearing from Lulu Carter Orenzo. She is a homeschooling mom that has really blessed her community. You can go to Facebook, Lulu Carter Orenzo, and learn more about her. And we'll be right back.
Got a minute for your family? Here's family expert Dr. Kay Kuzma with some great advice.
A fellow once complained that his girlfriend broke up with him because he got angry and pushed his mother. I wasn't very sympathetic. I think uncontrolled anger is a great reason to break up. My advice is, don't marry a man with a history of hitting his mother, sister, or another woman. If it happened once, it can happen again. And after marriage, you and your children are likely to be the victims. Anger can also cause a wife to be abusive to her husband or family. Watch how she treats her younger brother, because chances are she'll treat others the same. Temper outbursts are often repressed during courtship as a person is trying hard to be on his best behavior, but chances are it will become more frequent and more violent after marriage.
For great family resources, go to www.adventsource.org.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word. mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Lulu Carter Orenzo.
That's right.
And I'm going to spell it out because she's doing a Facebook facilitation for homeschoolers.
Correct.
And so Lulu is spelled L-U-L-U, Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R, and then Orenzo is O-R-E-N-Z-O-W. And you can find her on Facebook. So Lulu, how did you get into this ministry or this facilitation or this passion for homeschool?
Sure. Well, I started out as an educator. I went to school to be a Spanish teacher. At that time, I became a new mother. I adopted two children, and it took a really long time for me where I really had to connect and pray to something beyond, you know, outside of my control. And so I started to, you know, at the beginning of my life, I felt very, as a child, connected to God. But then over time, as I traveled and, you know, learned the world and this and that, I thought I'd become more expansive and more educated. And therefore, I kind of left my very narrow thinking, you know, Jesus is my only savior, et cetera. And I became very global and approached. And so basically, when I became a teacher, I also became a mother. And before all of that, becoming a mother, I prayed a lot, and I didn't know who and what to pray to, but I just knew that I wanted this child, and I just put a lot of faith into that. And then here a child comes, and I'm so eternally grateful to God, and I didn't really have a name on that God, but I knew that God had been a part of that. So because God had blessed me, I wanted to make sure that I did something of His will. And so I thought, I work in a private school. I'm a Spanish teacher. It's exclusive. We'll send them there, and I will continue my career as a professional and take care of them down the hallway, make sure that they're doing well and so forth. A year later, I had another child. As a Christian now, unfortunately, I did unfortunately go through a divorce, and that divorce finally brought me to Christ. I did, at that time, want God. I was doing everything on my own. It probably was a part of the creation of why it didn't survive. But in the end, I started going to church and I met people, and Christ just really became a part of my life. So going back to the initial question of asking, well, how did I decide to homeschool? I wanted the best for my kids because I knew that God, now who I know is through Christ, gifted me these two children, and I wanted to do a really good job with or without the person, my ex-partner. Will we still do it together to this day? We both do it. He was not a believer in homeschooling, and I was an advocate. And the way that I became an advocate of homeschooling was, you know, I was set on my ways of raising the children, taking a break, and then going back to that private school. And when we were coming back from a little trip, a little kid came up and was talking to me, and I said, wow, you know, I thought in my mind, this kid is extra special. And I said, you must be private school. And he goes, nope. And he put his hand on his hip and he said, I'm homeschooled. He goes, all of my sisters and brothers are too. Lots of people homeschool. And I said, well, what is that? What could that be? And he goes, yeah, my sister just got a full ride to Harvard. I said, what? So I said, well, I need to know more about this. So I went home and I started researching and digging deep. I had about 100 reasons why to homeschool. So I approached my now ex-husband, loving husband at that point. We were a very good team together, and he trusted me. He questioned a lot of things, but I was always able to give him a good, adequate answer. I had research. I had all of the facts. He said, let's do it. So we initially chose homeschooling for the freedom, because he's an entrepreneur. And we figured, well, we'll go and we'll travel and we'll go and help impoverished people like in Africa one season. And then we'll go during the winter breaks, we'll go to Costa Rica and we'll go to Nicaragua and we'll go to Africa. And we'll do like awesome things with our kids to teach them the importance about the world and about, you know, using your God-given talents. And let's raise these kids to be awesome human beings. And so we were set on it even from the time my kids were 1, 2, 3 years old. And I was so excited and so anxious, like, well, where are these homeschool parents? Like, well, I don't know what to do. I need to prepare. And, you know, as a first mother, you want to prepare and you want to have everything perfect. You do your research on the strollers, your research on this, that. So I was a little obsessed about my child and about how to make it right. I can only imagine people that decide a semester before, days before, how to make homeschooling right. I had plenty of years to do it. I seeked out people on Facebook, and they assured me that there was plenty of community and that my kids would not be weird. And I started to meet these parents, because I was a Spanish tutor, and I started to get my hands into the homeschooling because I was a professional. I said, well, I'll tutor your kids Spanish. So I was able to start to kind of, I said, oh, this is great. I can homeschool my kids. I can be a part of the homeschool community, and I can sustain myself within the homeschool community by providing my professional support and charging whatever would be fair in the market. That's how I got into the homeschool community. Even when my kids were toddlers, they let me in. I really probably shouldn't have been there by then, but I was preparing to enter into the culture. And so that's what I do right now. Now that I've been a homeschool mom, now my kids are 8 and 9 years old, I'm preparing a culture. So I created a Facebook events group where people come that are committed to homeschooling, whether from the beginning, and they want to meet other homeschool families and see what it's like before they even get into kindergarten. Or perhaps they have a toddler, but then they have an 8th grader, and we are looking more at a family. So how do I not include someone until they're officially homeschooling? Yes. I didn't feel like that was right. So I have a Facebook platform that has events page. And so parents, every single day of the week, whether they're, doing whatever they're doing for their academic programs throughout the week, can also go and do events. So we might do like the Maple Farm, or it could be as simple as playing at the playground, meeting up at the beach. And it is often it's more child led, because as a teacher, I thought to myself, well, how can I create something that doesn't put the pressure on people? Because I'm a teacher and I get nervous performing in front of these homeschool people. Like, what if they don't think I'm smart enough, or I don't do a good job in front of their kids? So I said, well, if they're not a teacher and they're not practiced at being watched and preparing lesson plans like I am, and I still have anxiety about it, can't even imagine they would come out of their shell. So I, and how will I track all of this? And how will I keep it accountable and so forth? I say, well, let me just leave it on the kids. Let me leave it on the parents to show up. They attend, they follow their kids throughout the program. And, you know, we give them locations for them to be able to find the academics naturally, the seashells, the rocks, the whatever it might be, the maple farm. And if it's an event that is being sponsored or taught from like an outside, for example, like the fire department or this or that, of course, there's going to be a nice baseline for the education. But the children are able to like form relationships in a little bit more free range. And the parents can sit back and watch. And then they can go home and they go, oh, that was really fun. We learned about the Native Americans today. And now we saw arrowheads and we went to this museum. And it was so nice meeting that little boy, Charlie, wasn't it? Oh, we're going to meet up with him next week. And so it gives like a really nice free opportunity for, you know, for the kids to just naturally and the parents to naturally link up with each other. But then from there, maybe go in and study about Native American culture because they had such a good time with little Charlie doing it that they have that memory associated to it and they can go from there. So I'm all about 60 people showing up, but I'm also all about like no one showing up and except for one family, other family. And then now these two families become best of friends or they just happen to know each other at a very natural and private level. And so I don't want to say the word private, but more like what's the word I'm looking for? Like more cozy, mm-hmm. more intimate. And so there's no failure in these events. The approach is that all you have to do is make a picture of the event. It could be, a maple tree. Picture. And then they just say, visit the maple farm. And they put the time. And if nobody shows up, at least mom and her kids or dad and his kids or whoever goes out is able to go and do that. And they're doing something, right? And then if other kids show up, then that's great.
Yeah.
So I was able to create this platform initially when New York State had, there was a religious removal of rights for medical freedom. And so people were being forced to vaccinate against their will, whether it was, you could still use a medical voucher or like a medical statement, but most doctors and nurse practitioners were unwilling to put their license or have mm-hmm. that kind of, you know, government looking at them and then being picked on, essentially. So it was very hard to get medical exemptions in New York State, and people were scrambling, whether it was a religious reason or a medical reason, or it just didn't fit right. Yeah. Kind of like what I was talking about earlier. I knew there was a God, but I wasn't really sure. And yeah. then there were certain people that came into my life, and I was praying to God that I would find a best friend in homeschool, one that would get along with my kids, and that I would have a like-minded mom. And God, sure enough, brought me a best friend.
Wow.
My kids are best friend with them. I've come to this convention here at ASI for 2 years in a row. And just being around people that, you know, really follow the Bible. And they're living these happier lives. And, like, the proof is in the pudding.
Yes.
Right? So there's a lot of questions I had or, you know, oh, well, this doesn't match this or that. And that's the same thing with homeschooling is, well, why do people homeschool? Why are they freer? Why are they happier? And why are they producing better results? Well, it's because you're giving them the freedom to have ownership of their own lives. And often, you know, that connects with the grand design of what I think God allows for us. So, yeah.
We have to close part one, but I hope you come back tomorrow for part two because
absolutely.
We are talking with Lulu Carter Orenzo. And you can just put that on Facebook and you'll be able to follow her. Well, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.